I know I say it every week, but it is good to be in the house of the Lord. There is just something. God, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but God has just been here, like here. Like you can feel his presence here. It's just been amazing. And I believe part of that is because we're coming expecting him to be here. Amen. We're expecting to come and his presence be here. And you know what? He's amazing. When you're expecting of him, he shows up. Every single time. I'm super excited about today's teaching. God is doing amazing things in our finances, but he is doing amazing things in what he's given Pastor Steve and I as far as looking forward. You know, it's one thing as a pastor to pray about something and feel like God has told you to do something, but it's another thing when you can see in the natural that it's lining up with the supernatural, right? It's at that point you go, whoa, God, that's amazing, right? And we've been studying this passage in Matthew 6, and I've said it before, I would like to be sitting on this front row. And a lot of times I go home and I just preach it to myself, or my kids preach it to me, because this is a timely word for us right now. There are so many things going on, and God is saying, therefore, do not worry. You have made me Lord of your life, so I will take care of you. Amen? And we're seeing him do that over and over. We've shared before, us being in this building in the natural doesn't make one lick of sense. Well, I'll tell you what's even more amazing is the money that we set aside for us to be in this building, we have never used. Somebody say amen. Amen. That is supernatural what God is doing. So I know he is good. It starts at the top, Aaron's beard, and runs all the way down. That's what it says in Psalms. The oil starts on Aaron's beard and runs all the way down the body. It's symbolic of the people of God. So God is moving and working. Amen? Therefore, do not worry. I want to read the passage just one more time quickly, starting in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. So we've made that designation, right? We are serving the Lord. Therefore, and this is what it's there for. This is the blessing you have. I say to you, do not worry about your life. I'm going to say it again. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Which of you can grow another foot? We can't do that. Which of you can add an hour to your life? Doesn't work. So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Now, we talked about this last week. Does this mean you are weak in your faith? Do this. No, this translates you are lacking in confidence. We learned last week we can gain confidence as we see God move in our lives and as we get to know his word even more. Amen? Amen. I know that set me, well, actually 2 weeks ago, set me free on that one. No, it was last week. There we go. We're on verse 31 today. And listen to this. What does he say? What did I tell you last week? If God repeats himself more than once, you need to pay attention. He is repeating himself again in this passage. So this means, listen, this is like he's saying, listen, are you guys listening? Redeemed Church, are you listening? Are you listening? I'm going to say it again. Therefore, do not worry. Saying to yourselves, to your husbands and wives, to your kids, to your spouses, oh my goodness, how are we going to pay for gas? Oh my goodness, how are we going to pay for groceries? Everything's going up. Oh my goodness, how are we going to pay for this? Oh my, therefore, do not worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? He is trying to give us the wake. It's almost like he's shaking the people. Is anybody listening? You don't need to worry. And I'm going to tell you a story today that is so powerful, and it brings us back to this realization we do not have to worry. God knows what you need before you need it. Your asking Him is your step of faith. He already knows what you need. And He wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above. But guess what the factor is? You have to open your mouth to ask for it. Amen? I got a call this, or a text this week from Randy and Louie. And Randy said, can I chat with you for a little bit? And so I called him and we were talking. And you know how you know somebody's trying to ask something but they're not saying it? And the conversation went on and he was like, you know, we're doing fantastic. He's like, we're doing better now than we ever had in our entire married lives financially. Thank you, Jesus. I wish every one of our missionaries could say that. Amen? And he was like, you know, I loved what you said about wanting to bless us and wanting to be able to pay for our whole year. Because that was on my heart. And so I was asking them, you know, what is your budget? What am I believing for, right? And so when they had told me, this was about 3 or 4 months ago, I was praying and asking the Lord. I said, how do you get to a point where you're paying for someone's whole, you know, year for missions? And the Lord told me, well, last year we gave them an offering that we felt like the Lord had put on our heart, and it was 1 month of their year. And the Lord told me, okay, so this year, do 2 months. I said, oh, so we're going to do this by months. Sweet, I can believe for that, right? And so the amount that I had in my mind was $10,000. I feel like the Lord said the first $10,000 that comes in goes to the Mishlers, and I'll provide for all the rest of them. I said, okay, I can believe for that, because I'm believing for the whole thing, right? But I could believe for 2 months. Amen? Don't you love God? He moves in increments so that we can handle it. So he's on the phone with me, and we were talking, and he's like, you know, all of our needs are provided for this. We're doing so great, but I could tell there was a but. There was something that he wanted to share, and I finally said, Randy, what is it? What's on your heart? And he said, you know, he said, I've been so discouraged because we have 2 vehicles down here, but they're very large vehicles. So every time that I go by myself, I am just wasting gas. And he said, I just don't feel like I'm being a good steward. He said, so we've prayed about it. He said, and I really felt like the Lord said, you need to get a truck. And I got excited because we've already done part of a truck. Remember in Togo when they needed a truck? We helped provide that truck, amen? So I got excited in my spirit, and I was thinking, Lord, really? Is this really going to work out to be what I'm thinking this is going to work out to be, right? So I'm already smiling on my end of the line. And he starts sharing, and he says, we've set aside a chunk in our savings. So we already have some, but we just have this last bit. And he said, it's very difficult as a missionary to ask for people to give toward things that are not necessarily a need, although it is a need. And I said, Randy, what do you want? What are you asking for? And he said, well, Shelley, this is really hard. And he said, but I know you're a person of faith, and I know Redeemed Church is faith, so we're just wanting you to. I said, Randy, how much do you need? He said, I need $10,000. And I started laughing. And he goes, wait a minute. Why are you laughing because of what I think you're laughing about? And I said, Randy, God already met your need. That's the amount that we had already decided to give you this year. And he got so quiet. He's like, you know, he said, the Lord's been telling me for months as I've been having this on my heart, Randy, don't worry about this. I've already got it covered. Do you hear what he said? Don't worry about this. I've already got it covered. I'm here to tell you today that if God can provide $10,000 for a missionary in Mexico, whatever it is that you have need of, you have planted seed into their lives. You look for a blessing to come back on you. Therefore, do not worry. He was praying months ago about this. He's been having it on his heart, not knowing what to do. He's been believing for it. But what did he have to do? He had to ask. And before he even asked, what had God done? Already provided, already made a way. Amen? God already made a way. I got super excited about this, and then Pastor Steve challenged me. He said, you know what? Maybe we need to just present this to the church and say, if you want to give above your missions to this truck, we already have it, but if you want to be a seed sower into this truck, by next week, plant your seed. And who knows? Maybe we're going to give that truck ahead of time. Amen? Because that gets me excited. We already have that in our missions that we've already designated, right? For next year's missions. But who wants to be a part of seeing a miracle in their lives? I do. Because when you plant a seed, you are planting into good soil that will reap a harvest in your own lives. Therefore, do not worry. Say it with me. Therefore, do not worry. How awesome would it be to be able to call him and say, guess what? You don't even have to wait till June. Our God is so good. He is amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Whew! Therefore, do not worry. If he can provide for your clothes, if he can provide for your food, if he can provide for what you can drink, how much more will he provide for every need you have? So when the devil comes to you and says, oh, well, no, it's not going to come in, you go, wait a minute. I've already seen a miracle. And what God does for one person, he is no respecter of persons. If he does it for them, he will do it for me. So I am not going to worry. Woo! I don't know about you, but this just excites me so much to see. We serve an amazing God. And if you stop and think about this, how amazing is it that we aren't on the wanting side, we are on the giving side. How awesome that our missionary calls and says, I need this. And we are able to say, no problem. Woo! You guys, I don't know if you can grasp this, but look around you. Do you see this group? Look what God is doing through you. I told him, I said, you know what? I'm believing this truck is going to be a powerful tool that the Lord is going to use in your life to be a witness. In Mexico, the cars are a little bit sketchy unless you buy new. And so that was another hurdle for him. He was like, is it okay that a missionary is driving a new truck? And I said, yes, because everywhere you go, I want you to tell people, look what the Lord has done. Maybe you're going to stretch another missionary. Maybe you're going to stretch another Christian believer to believe that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or hope or think or imagine. Amen. We serve a God that has limitless resources, and yet we have to do one thing. We have to ask. We have to ask. So today I want to challenge you. If there is a need in your life, ask your Heavenly Father to meet that. Because more than likely, he's already put it on the heart of somebody else to be able to fill that need. Because that's how much he loves us. He doesn't just love the Mishlers. He loves the Mishlers and the Valancourts. He loves the Athertons. He loves the Living. He loves all of us. He loves all of us. And he wants to provide for all you have need of, exceedingly and abundantly above, so that you can give to every good work and be like the seed of Abraham. You are blessed to be a blessing. Yes. Whew! I don't know about you, but I'm excited to give my tithes and offerings today. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings and let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Father, for this incredible testimony. Before he knew he needed it, you had already prepared a way for it to be met. Father, that touches my heart so deeply. because I know that you care that way about all your children. And Father, I just thank you so much for putting this into the hearts of these people to give to missions and to such a level, Father, that we can truly be blessed to be a blessing. Father, I know just in hearing Randy's voice after I shared the news with him, it was like 100 pounds went off his shoulders. Father, as we sow into someone else, relieving that burden, relieving that weight of wondering, Father, I know that every person in this room that has been carrying a weight or a burden of something in their own lives, it is lifted today because we sowed a seed, and I am saying we are reaping the harvest today. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for every person that is sowed into our missions, Father. I thank you, Lord, that they are going to begin reaping even more. Lord, every year has been amazing what you've done in our missions, but I am believing for this next year, 22 to 23, is going to literally be mind-boggling. It's not going to make sense at all, Father, in the natural, but we are believing, God, that you are going to do exceedingly and abundantly above in our missions, Father. And that's going to be because our people have more than enough. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Mexico. We thank you, Father, for this truck. We thank you, Lord, that even before it arrives, you are giving it bells and whistles. It's not going to be broken into. It's not going to be tampered with, Father. Angels of God are protecting it. It will never be in an accident. It will always run soundly, Father, because it is your truck. And you will take care of that. And we just praise you and we thank you today, Father, for the amazing things you're doing in our lives and in our finances. And we just say, angels, go forth to the north, south, east, and the west and bring in that harvest so we can keep sowing. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing that powerful word and testimony. It's so cool, you know, thinking about trucks. And I was sharing with Shelley this past week when she was sharing that with me, that she's always been this super planner. Even when our kids were little, she'd be buying stuff for Christmas months ahead. Like she'll find us this crazy sale and stockpile it and store it and all brand new stuff, you know. So, and for the church, the same way. Now it's trucks. So it's an anointing that she has, and it's all your giving. But it's just the supernatural foresight of God to be setting things aside for God's work. Amen? And so I just rejoice in that. Amen? Well, I want to start our new series today. We're kind of, you know, this is our Easter series, whatever you call it, Passover, Easter, Resurrection. How many know Jesus is, this is, you know, not beginner's Christianity, right? Y'all know why we're here today. We're not here having a motivational meeting or anything like that. This is church. Praise God. And we celebrate the victory that Jesus Christ, that he won on all of our behalf. Amen. And it occurred to me this past week, you know, this the theme for the year for our church is kingdom culture. Right? And the statement at the bottom, I don't know if you can see it because it's kind of on the lower side there, but it's better blood means better things. How many of you believe in God for better things? Right? Well, the blood of Jesus is why you have the right to believe God for, like Randy, a new truck, the right truck. He was sharing with Shelley, it's not just any truck, it's a special Toyota made for the terrain of Mexico. Hallelujah. Better blood means better things. Glory to God. Hey, Randy, can you see if you can shut the air off? Thanks. I just can't ever figure the thing out. It starts, just totally off, I think. Thank you. But culture. Somebody say culture. The culture of our country has been under attack for many years. And I was thinking through the number of years that we've been pastoring and ministering. This will be 10 years in July. Hallelujah for that. And I was going through kind of our archives, and I've never had anything in the title with the cross in it before. And it just kind of seems like we should. Been a lot of things about the blood, and you know, as a faith church, it's like we don't really want to talk much about the suffering of Jesus, right? But how many know our victory is in his suffering that he did on our behalf? And he's not suffering anymore. He's not on the cross anymore. But just the idea that the cross should impact the culture. The culture should not impact the cross. The cross should impact the culture. Amen. So what I want to do, Lacey, we're going to show that video right now. And I want to make it as dark as we can in this room, right? Because I'm going to show you about a two-minute clip from the beginning of the Passion of the Christ. It's really dark, so it'll be a little bit tricky to see it. But if we can turn all the lights down. But in order to illustrate what we're talking about, I just want to show you this clip right here, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Mel Gibson, for that illustration, right? Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lacey, Lane, Luke. Hallelujah. Man, I love that. I mean, they Hollywoodized it and jazzed it up, but in the spirit, that's what was happening. That's what was happening. But I love that part where the snake comes and he just stomps that snake into the ground like, you are not intimidating me, devil. I'm not going to be moved by you. You're going to be moved by me. It makes me think of the scripture in Genesis where God tells Adam or Eve, or the serpent actually, he's talking to the serpent, right? And he says, you will bruise his heel and he will bruise your head. That is what happened. Amen. And I was reading through John this past week and just, you know, revisiting kind of the idea of the garden. The Garden of Gethsemane is where everything was lost that should have been ours, right? The Garden of Eden is where everything was lost that should have been ours, right? Can we bump the lights up a little bit more so people can see their notes now? Thank you. Thanks, Randy. But the Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus, the second Adam, got it all back for us, right? He surrendered. He said yes to God's will. The cool thing about that movie is it's all in Hebrew. It's like exactly the way he would have been speaking, and it's very graphic, but it illustrates the power of what he did for humanity, right? But Adam said, Lord, and I love this from Bloodbot years ago at New Beginnings, and Pastor Huck would say, in the Garden of Eden, it's where Adam said, not your will be done, but my will be done. I want the fruit. I want this woman to like me. She's hot, whatever. So I'm going to take this fruit. And he lost it all. All the terrible things that happened on planet Earth are because of what happened that day, right? Nothing. It's not an act of God, bad stuff that's happening. It's an act of the devil. And a man let him in. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, many years later, Jesus refers himself as in multiple areas as the second Adam. He said, Lord, I don't really want to do this. This is going to hurt. I'm paraphrasing. But if there's any other way, I mean, that's a good question. He wasn't doing this as God. He was doing this as a human being, knowing about what he was about to suffer, right? Lord, if there's any other way, nonetheless, not my will, but yours. And that's where our victory. That's why I love when he stomps that snake into the ground. That's exactly what he did. At that moment, his decision was final. Glory to God forevermore. But then even taking it farther, as talking about the cross after he suffered, and it said it was Passover, and so they had to take him off the cross, and they said there was a garden near the cross with a brand new tomb, never used before. So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, right, one of the Pharisees, were a secret disciple of Jesus. Not anymore. They went to Pilate, Joseph of Arimathea, can I please take the body of Jesus down? And they wrapped it honorably as in Jewish customs. And they put him in a tomb in a third garden. That's where the resurrection happened. Hallelujah. So you see, there's great victory in thinking about the power of what Jesus has done for us. Amen? So we're going to spend a few weeks on this, and I'm interested to see where the Lord takes it, because this is his thing, right? But our foundation text, if you have notes there, if you want to open your Bible, we're going to look at, Romans 1, Philippians 3. Those will be places you can turn. Everything else is right there in the notes. If you need a sheet of notes, you can raise your hand and we'll have Randy grab you one, or you can just write things down, right? But Colossians 1, 19 and 20, this is the foundation text for this message. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Praise God. Don't settle for anything less than everything God has done for you. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let anybody lie to you about it. Somebody say, I received the fullness, Lord, of everything you did for me at the cross. Amen. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things, somebody say things. Things on earth or things, somebody say things. In heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace through the blood. See, without the cross, there is no peace. There was no other way. And he was the only one who could do it. He was the only one who could do it. And when you think about, as you're reading through the Gospels and looking where he shed his blood at, again, back to Bloodbot years ago, and it's, you know, not a new story, but the revelation was fresh to me years ago in terms of when they smacked him in the face and they shoved the crown of thorns on his head, right? All of these things were representative to areas where you and I can believe for freedom. Bruises, bleeding on the inside. Jesus is all about healing inner hurts and wounds, brain injuries and just wrong thinking, right? God cursed, it says, when Adam sinned, he said, now you will have to eke out an existence and thorns and thistles are going to be, all weeds and thorns and thistles are part of the curse. He took that on his brow to break through our negative, low-level thinking, poverty-level thinking, right? By his stripes we were healed. When they rip his, I mean, this movie gets really detailed, and it probably still doesn't touch what actually happened. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his wounds, by his stripes, we were healed. Healing is ours, belongs to us. I remember years ago, I was praying for a young man. Actually, Dad and I went and prayed for somebody in the hospital, right? And man, I'll tell you, very few times have I actually, this might really be the only time where I physically felt Jesus in the room. I mean, he's laying there in the bed, and Dad and I are there, and Dad's up ministering to him, and we said, let's pray. So I reach out to grab the brother's hand in the bed, and literally, I used you last week, Luke, I'll use you again. Come on, stand up here, I want to show you something. So like, if Luke is this way, like, kind of like this, and you're reaching out to grab the guy's hand, let's say Lane's the guy. Right? I felt Jesus do this. I felt this, and I felt this. I felt that. Thank you, Luke. It's like he was putting his arm through me like a shirt. And we grabbed hands, and I said something. I was like, man, there's something powerful happening right here. I don't know if he was going to jump out of his bed or what. Now, he did heal up supernaturally fast, but a bigger thing is he started asking questions about Jesus. He started emailing everybody. Well, what about faith? What about Jesus? What about Jesus woke something up on the inside of him far more important than his physical healing, which he did get. Glory to God. He's more interested in the guy being in heaven than him being totally well again, which, praise the God, he paid for all of it. Somebody say, don't settle for anything less than everything. But what a powerful thing to see. I got a glimpse there of his heart. Yes, I know you're in pain and you're in this bed. I didn't put you there. But while you're there, and wham, just opened up his heart to receive from the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And that is so powerful. But there's things in heaven and things on earth. Praise God. Mr. Don is in heaven. Your brother-in-law is in heaven. I know your father went to heaven recently. We all know people that are in heaven. Heaven is a real place. Amen. And we're all going to be there sooner or later. Right? I think I wouldn't be alone to say let's root for the rapture. Amen. Right? But if someone does pass on naturally, right? We can believe God that it's not going to be a big, drawn-out, dramatic thing with suffering and pain. Why? Because someone suffered for me. You can just lie down one night, go to sleep, and wake up in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise his name. So better things, because he made peace through the blood of his cross. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says this. We're going to get into this now, okay? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Well, Pastor Steve, I thought I was saved. What do you mean being saved? Well, your spirit. How many know you are a spirit? Say that. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. So it's spiritually, yeah, we're born again. But has anybody ever made a sin since you've been born again? Said something bad, did something wrong, had to apologize. You know, that's because your soul and your flesh are being saved. You're spiritually, yeah, if you went home, you'd go home to be with Jesus. Right? But for those who are perishing, now let's look at these words, because this is so key to culture right now. Foolishness means people think it's silliness. Absurdity. Absurdity is defined as senseless, untrue, contrary to reason or common sense, laughably false. We're hearing a lot of this. Toward Christians, toward faith, toward the church. Amen? That is a cultural issue. How could you honestly believe that? That is so absurd. You hear this. You see it on television. You hear it in the media. Amen? To them, it is foolishness that you would actually believe this. And that you would care to give it 5 minutes, let alone 5 years, let alone be somewhere in church. You could be out running. You could be sleeping in. You could be working another day of the week. You're wasting. There's people that believe you're wasting your time and you're actually dangerous. It's a cultural issue of our time, even in the USA. Amen. They think it's foolishness means stupid. This is right out of the concordance. Blockhead. Who remember Peanuts? Blockhead. That's in the Greek. Right? It means heedless. Means words like you're asleep at the switch. You're inattentive. You're not listening. You're foolhardy. You're not listening to us. You need to embrace all these things, not just one little thing. You need to embrace it all. How foolhardy are you? I love Keith Moore. He says, somebody said, well, he calls us narrow-minded. Well, the way is narrow that leads to life, and wide is the road that leads to destruction. And he said, yeah, we're narrow-minded and saved. Somebody say, one way. One way, Jesus. The word perish means to destroy fully. It means die, lose. It means separation. It means away. It means ruin. How many have noticed in the past couple years even, maybe the past few days, that the devil is trying to fully destroy? He's not going to be satisfied. He just tries to keep taking it down a notch, keep taking it down a notch, make it darker and darker and darker. And how many know the church ought not decrease our intensity as the devil increases his intensity? We need to be brighter and brighter. Like, that's why that cross is so cool. Brighter and brighter as the devil gets darker and darker and darker. Amen? We're not called to perish with the world. We're not. We're different. We're a different species. And we don't hate them. We want the same gospel that impacted us to help them too. But I'll tell you this, I am not going to hell for anybody. I don't love you that much. I love him more than I love them. Which, what does that mean? That means we're not bending with whatever they're saying. Hallelujah, right? Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The end of the road is death. Death is coming. The world should see it like road signs. Death in 400 miles. If you keep going that way. Yeah, but I heard it's nice there. Death in 375 miles. Yeah, but everyone else is going that way. Must be something good. Death in 200 miles. Somebody say, turn back, turn around. It doesn't matter if death is 5 feet from them. If they turn to Jesus, they're instantly in life. Glory to God forevermore. But I wouldn't encourage anybody to wait that long. Amen? That's why we're praying, interceding for people, because there's a spiritual war going on. Hallelujah. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is why Jesus had to suffer. This is why he was the only one who could. Better blood means better things. The thing that jumps in my mind about that is oftentimes people think, well, I'm good enough. I don't need that. I don't need that blood. I haven't done anything all that bad. I do a lot of good deeds. This really, really, really wealthy guy passed away a few years ago. I won't tell you who it is. And I was praying about that. Because I know he gave to a lot of charities and this kind of stuff. And the Holy Spirit spoke up in my heart. And he said he thought his good works would save him. Yikes. Somebody say, better blood. My blood wasn't good enough. The blood of a goat, the blood of a cow, the blood of a pigeon wasn't good enough. It was a type back in the Old Testament. The only one whose blood was acceptable as a sacrifice for all humanity was the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was a sinless man. Virgin born. Right? Raised up gloriously after 3 days, went into the pit of hell, stomped the devil's head again, took the keys. He's the only way out of this. Amen. And you have chosen him. You've chosen wisely. There's no, we could get a little downcast and negative about things that we feel like we could have done better in our lives. But let me tell you this, if you've made that decision, it's good forever for you. It's glorious forever for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, Philippians 3, I want to look at that one, verses 17 through 21. Philippians 3, verses 17 through 21. Flip to that one. Here I go. Brethren, Paul is saying, right? Paul is a good example of someone who was going down the highway to death. AC/DC had a song called Highway to Hell. Right? That's no game, church. That's no road you want to be on, right? Michael Landon had a show called Highway to Heaven. We love Little House on the Prairie, right? Ma and Pa and Two Carries and Jack and Laura and Mary and Almanzo. Come on, you know. Hester Sue, all those Olsons. Glory to God. How many of you are on the highway to heaven, right? That's me. That's you. Oh, Stephen Curtis Chapman has a song. No greater place on earth than the road that leads to heaven. Hallelujah. The road that leads to heaven comes through church. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, join in following my example, Paul says, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And he's probably talking about religious people, right? Whose end is destruction. They're on the highway to death, right? Whose God is their belly, their appetites. They live for how they feel, what they want, right? And whose glory is in their shame. Somebody say shame. Who set their mind on earthly things. How far are we going, 21? Yeah. For our citizenship is in heaven, glory to God, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the truth or what? We are eagerly waiting. I mean, the rapture could happen at any moment. Glory to God. Amen. Who will transform our lowly body. See, there's what's being saved, right? That it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That includes me. That includes you. Amen. His glorious body. When he raised again, they recognized him, but he was different, right? He had a supernatural, resurrected body, and you and me, when we go to heaven, this is coming with us. It's going to be in way better shape. It ain't going to die anymore. No sickness, no disease, no sorrow, no pain. But this is coming with us. We better get used to ourselves. Stop and watch the self-talk. Negative things about it. Just get used to it. I'm stuck with me forever. Literally, right? But I tell myself often, you know what, Steve? I know you're feeling that right now, but man, we made a good decision for you. You're going to be in heaven forever. So just come on. Come on. We're going this way. But that word, that there's people that are enemies of the cross. Enemies of the cross. Can you imagine this? Well, let's look at the word enemy. It means to hate. Now, there's people out there that would call us right now for having a meeting like this haters. And that's absolutely a lie. The Bible said, and I've seen bumper stickers, hatred is not a family value. It's a biblical value. Hate what is evil. Cling to that which is good. That's a scripture. Not hate who is practicing evil. That's where we got to watch it. Our enemy is not people. But look at this. Enemies of the cross, they hate it. Hate it. Hateful toward the cross. Odious. Hostile. Doesn't that sound like the people that crucified Jesus? Right? Adversary, which actually translates Satan himself. They're sons and daughters of their father, the devil. It means foe. Can you imagine this, being hateful, thinking it stinks, it's got a death stench to it? To some people, the gospel has the stench of death to it. Yikes, man. They're hostile to it. They're adverse to it. So we pray for them and we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel. Amen? Enemies of the cross. This is a cultural problem. Hallelujah, right? Let's look at Romans chapter 1. We're going to keep moving here. Somebody say, I ain't no enemy of the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. And what happened there? Amen. Romans 1, 13 through 18 says this. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you, but I was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. So there's people out there that would just really love to hinder the gospel, hinder the message of the cross, right? I am a debtor both to Greeks, to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. See, Paul, I'm ready to preach, man. Whoever they are. I'm on ready at all times. For I am not ashamed. Somebody say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, are we going through 17? 18, thank you. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How about, we could even just say, the just shall live. The unjust shall not live. And the only way to become just is just accept Jesus. It's just about him. Amen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. What sounds like hate? Well, God hates sin. Because sin kills and sends people to hell, separates them from his family, separates them from life to death. Hell was not designed for people. It was designed for Satan and his angels that fell with him. The only way people can go there is one way. The only way out of there is one way. Not because they got a big long list of sins, but because they've rejected Jesus. The only way out of there, accept Jesus. Hallelujah. See, this is not a complicated thing, right? Here it is, though. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppression of the truth is another evidence of people who hate the gospel, hate the cross. It's a cultural problem, amen? But that word ashamed, the Lord wants us to focus and deliver us from any kind of shame. Why? Because he took my shame on himself. The devil is a shameful devil. What he's done is shameful. What Russia, the Putin is doing to Ukraine is shameful. Right? There's a lot of shameful, despicable, awful things people do. Right? But if you come to Jesus, you are free from shame in your life, right? But look at this word. When Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, that word shame means feeling shame by feelings of foolishness, embarrassed. The world is saying, you're foolish. And he says, I am not foolish. And here's a guy highly educated, by the way, really, really high up in the ranks, educational-wise, but that wasn't it. It was the Holy Ghost on the inside of him that rose up in the face of that onslaught of you are foolish and said, no, I'm not foolish. In fact, you're foolish. If you think that's foolish, you're foolish. Amen. Isn't there a scripture that says something like the fool says in their heart, there is no God. There is no consequences to my behavior. Right? The same ones that are saying we don't need law and order anymore. That's the same spirit. Law and order came out of the Word of God. There are consequences to actions. There are rewards to behavior. When it says that scripture that says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, not just temporal death, eternal death. And that word wages actually translates, it's the payment of a soldier. So if we're in the devil's army, there's payment coming for that. Hallelujah. There's payment. There's a reward for sin. Somebody say, I'm taking the eternal reward of life by putting my faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. You can just turn that off. Oh, is that the clock? Oh, I thought it was the camera. Amen. Hey, guess what? That is a good reminder. That is a good reminder to wake up. So that's an alarm clock. Beep, 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 beep. Sometimes the gospel is like a beep, 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 beep. Amen? When it says, look, I want to close with this, Romans 12, 2. We're going to get to that beep, beep thing again, right? Looking unto Jesus. Somebody say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, that word despise means to regard with contempt. Now, listen to this. Just everything we just described that the world has toward the cross, Jesus has that same contempt toward shame. Toward what you did is shame. He has the same contempt toward the devil. Right? Listen to this. He despised the shame. To regard with contempt, distaste, disgust, disdain, scorn, loathe. The crucifixion was a humiliating execution. I mean, you were stripped of everything, your clothing, all your personal things gone. They beat you and tortured you, and you were hung there in public for all to see. And it says he despised that shame. Because why? Because of the joy that was set before him. The joy of you being in his family. The joy of everything he was accomplishing. The joy of stomping the devil's head, right? But more than that, the joy of his family. People now can come, join the family of God. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. So I believe the Lord would tell us today. Well, let me finish with one more thought, right? We had a friend visit from Texas yesterday, one of Shelley's friends, and she was talking about this neighbor that they were having some issues with, who's kind of harassing them because of trees that are too close to the fence and all this kind of stuff. And they said that he installed these huge lights on his deck, like his really nice deck. And they're like football stadium lights. So bright that you could walk out of the bedroom in the middle of the night and it's like a semi-truck. His point is, like, and so she said, I told our renters, we're going to buy drapes and hang the light and just put them up there so it blocks that light out. And I had this, last night I was kind of getting ready for bed and I had that image of like light just shooting through the window. And you know, that's what the world thinks of the church. You are just too bright. We can't stand the light. We'll plant more trees, we'll sue you, we'll create things to shut you down and shut you up because it's just, we just can't stand. We'll put curtains up to block you out because you're just too bright. We just can't stand it. It's irritating. Irritating. Amen? But then in the same breath, I feel like the Lord wants us to know. There might be some areas in my life that I've been trying to shut him out and block him out, and where his light is piercing through to heal me, to set me free, to deal with something in my own gut that needs to be dealt with. Some area of shame. I was talking with Lacey the other day, and I was like, you know, honey, there's people even today from high school that if I were to see them face to face, I don't know what I would say to them. Because there's a sense of some shame from things I said, things I might have did, embarrassment, right? And it's like the Lord is just saying today to all of us. Number one, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Somebody say, no, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. But number two, he's saying, don't allow any shame from your past. Because he bore the shame on the cross. My cousin Jason, just a couple years ago, was not doing some things right in his life. He was saved, loved God. Good example of someone who's born again spiritually, but in the natural, something is really off. Made some bad choices, ended up getting shot by a police officer and dying. He died. Right? The police officer was doing his job. I know my cousin. I wouldn't have trusted him either. I love him. I love him dearly. But I know he was in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. How many know when a police officer says drop, you drop or you're going to get dropped? Right? And it was tragic. But I know where my cousin is. I know he's with Jesus. And I know God saved him. I know he saved him. I know he's with God in heaven. I know he's well with his brother and my uncle and all other family members that have gone on before. I know he's okay now. But that public, because there was some public disgrace that came over the news toward our family and just because of the name. And the Lord just gave me a whole new revelation, and I even shared it at his funeral. I was like, you know, Jesus bore Jason's public disgrace. Because that is a disgraceful way to die. But Jesus bore it. And I know where he is. Hallelujah. And I know he's okay. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. So somebody say, I'm turning loose of anything the devil is trying to hang over my head. And if you notice in that video clip, we're closing up here. But if you saw the words on there, Satan was talking to him, who are you? Who is your father? Questioning him, accusing him, right? Somebody say, I know who my father is. I know who my father is. I know who my father is, and he loves me. He loves me, and he's bringing me closer, bringing me closer. So it's time to tear those drapes down. Anywhere I'm trying to shut the light out of my own life, well, Jesus, you have all of this area of my life, but this is, I heard somebody on the television, I think it was a ministry, talking about, this is the nice room. Like when Jesus comes into your house, you have a guest over to your house. You can't go down the hall to those rooms, but here's where the coffee is and everything's clean, but do not open that door. How many know Jesus wants all of it? All of it. Somebody say, Lord, have it all. Just stand up right now as we close and just lift your hands and say, Jesus, I give you all of me. Hallelujah. And I shake off any shame. I rebuke the shame. I despise the shame. I loathe the shame. I regard it with contempt and distaste and disgust and scorn. Why? Because somebody bore it for me. I can look anybody in the eye and say, hey, how's it going? Because Jesus bore the shame on my behalf. Glory to God forevermore. Just thank him for that. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is lifting us up to new levels of freedom. New levels of freedom, new levels of intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Lifting us up. There's an uplifting. There's an uplifting in this place today. An updraft. Hallelujah. Just like that alarm went off. Well, that wasn't an accident. The Lord was saying, hey, wake up. Wake up to the word. Wake up to the power of my resurrection. Wake up to the power of what I accomplished for you on the cross. Oh, thank you, Jesus, forevermore. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore. We praise you and we glorify you. And we are not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to our salvation in every area of our lives. And we will shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ and draw people to him. There are many who are hungry for the truth and they don't even know it. And they're being drawn in by the light shining through you. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for opportunities to witness and share with people and draw people to Jesus. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen.